Everybody, I'd like to welcome you to my podcast Renew Motherhood, and this episode is about use the power to go forwards. I'd like to welcome my lovely guest Anne Gray. Thank you for joining me today, and I'd like to hand it over to you. Please introduce yourself briefly.
Thanks, Blanca. So yeah, Anne Gray. I live in Johannesburg, South Africa. I am a 44-year-old entrepreneur and mother of one, and I am really just excited about helping other entrepreneurs on their entrepreneurial journey, whether they are thinking about starting a business or transitioning from a side hustle to something that's more professionalized and giving up corporate life to take that big first step, all the way through to helping organizations that feel like they're a little bit stuck in the washing machine of same old, and want to bring about a new vision and a new strategy and define all of that and start to scale the business towards some goals. So that's what I do. My business is called Solutioneers because we really are about problem solving for That's the great. Startups as well as for those that are looking to scale. And I take on anyone, women, men, big, small. I like the diversity of different opportunities. So yeah, in a nutshell, that's me.
Thank you. So you are a mother. You're not only an entrepreneur, but you are also a mother of a lovely daughter. But to become a mom, you had to overcome a few hurdles that made you grow, so to speak. And would you like to tell us a bit about your story?
Yes. So my story is one. When my husband and I got married at the age of 26, and we decided not to have children straight away. We wanted to travel a little bit, and we wanted to establish ourselves financially. And so we had a 5-year plan. And so that meant that we were really only going to start looking at the possibility of children when we were 31. And then my sister-in-law had twins the year I turned 30. And that really just flicked that mothering switch for me. And all of a sudden, caring with her for their twins and visiting them regularly and playing with them, I was like, you know what? It's really only 1 year until our 5-year plan is up. And I don't feel like there's anything I need to achieve, you know, in between now and then. So like, let's get busy. We took some time and things didn't happen for us. Went and saw a doctor and sent us for some tests. And it turned out that we had both got issues. So we had male factor infertility and female factor infertility. So it was really a double whammy. And I'm quite glad that we got, you know, we didn't wait like 2 years and then go, I wonder what's going on. We sort of, after it wasn't happening for sort of 6 months, we went for those tests. And I'm glad we did. And that sort of fast-tracked us onto on the infertility journey. Because that was a double whammy of infertility, our specialist said, look, let's not waste any time. Let's get on with it. And so we went through a couple of different treatments, but in the end, it was really an IVF cycle that we felt pregnant. I was very grateful that it was our very first IVF cycle that we felt pregnant. And so 2 years later, my daughter was born the year that I turned 32.
In your plan.
Yes, yeah, in the plan anyway. And I think one of the things that I always say is nothing about my daughter has gone to plan ever. Not her conception, not the ideal school that I wanted to choose for her, It has really been parenting, has for my husband and I, but especially for me. I'm an A-type personality. I have lists, I have plans, I have ambitions for myself and for her. And what I've really learned, like in this journey, of trying to get pregnant, then getting pregnant, then staying pregnant. I mean, that's in the infertility journey, that's like a whole other episode in itself. And then having the child and raising the child, I was so excited. I was going to have a hypnobirth. I was going to do that hypnotic thing where you imagine it all happening. And I was
Very
going to
smooth.
very smooth, medication free,
That's
in the
wonderful.
water. That was my plan. I
Yeah.
didn't have that. I ended up having to have a cesarean section. I was going to breastfeed exclusively. I didn't have that. I didn't produce milk. And so I couldn't, after 6 weeks, my mental health was really taking a dive. And so it was like, okay, it's time to look at other options. And never mind that the baby was also not thriving. And I had,
That's
so
important to
every,
look at your baby in this.
exactly. So every step of the way, I felt like something wasn't going according to my plan. And I think that's like the growth that I've had to, or the place that I've had to come to in my parenting journey has been, you can make your plans, but that doesn't necessarily mean that things are going to go according to plan. And so it's like really laying down all of that and not holding too tightly and too emotionally to the plan, because if it doesn't happen, you are just so devastated. Causes like all of that emotional stuff, and you have to let go of all of that and all the healing and all the work. And so yeah, I've learned not to hold too tightly to those plans that I've made for myself, and really allow things to unfold, and then kind of make choices based on how they do unfold.
That's wonderful. But you haven't been this personality. So, did you get any support? Did you get any help? How did you find out? Because this changed your personality in one way to say, okay, I've got my plan. It goes this, and your baby doesn't go this. So you have to adjust everything. Did you get any support?
I don't know that I got a lot of support with that. I think the only people that really understand this journey of motherhood and letting go of your plans and your ideals are other mothers, who have walked that journey.
Could be your
And
own mother.
yeah,
Okay.
I mean, yeah. So yes, my mother-in-law, have both been really supportive in that way. And my mom is very pragmatic, and she'll sort of say, well, things don't always go according to plan, but within myself, I had to come to that place within myself where I was able to put it down. It didn't really help for me for people to tell me that things weren't going to go according to plan. I was like, I don't want to hear that. That's but I mean, I think this, over the course of my parenting, this will be a lesson that I have to consistently relearn, because I'm not able to change my personality type, but
Yes.
I have to change how I react in a
Yeah.
situation, and when things, when my daughter brings home a school project and she tells me how the school project has to go, I cannot project manage that project for her. I have to say, what support do you need? You need me to print pictures. Okay, come and choose the pictures you want me to print. Okay, now there's the pictures. Now, how can I help you? You'd like help cutting them out? Okay, I'll cut them out for you. What else do you need? And to take that approach rather than saying, okay, right, Sarah, I've chosen these pictures for you, and I think it should go like this. And because at the end of the day, it's her work, and she needs to feel proud of it. She needs to feel like she's achieved something. And I found that
Well, you let her think and you're just doing
I'm
the
just here
work.
to facilitate.
Yes.
So, I mean, as a consultant, you often have to get in and do the work for your customer. But as a coach, you come alongside the customer and you get them to do the thinking. you know? And I think 10 years ago, I would have made a terrible coach because I am that person. I want to jump in and I want to fix this for you. Meanwhile, it's, you know, and what I saw, what I've often seen in my career is if you do jump in and you do try to fix things for your customer, and then, you know, the project is over and you leave, often those things don't stay fixed.
Yes.
So that learning is so transferable. You know, if I remove the learning opportunities from my child because I jump in and I do it for her, then that outcome is never actually hers.
Right. I love this that you compare it, that you're jumping from business to motherhood, motherhood to business. I love this because it's so similar. How you treat your children, how you can raise them is actually the same how you can treat others to grow, make them grow, to raise their business. And I love this. So, on the other hand, pursuing your profession passionately at the same time also allowed you to discover new opportunities that reshaped you. What happened here?
So when I did fall pregnant, I was working for a small company. I think there were 12 of us in the organization at the time. And so when I eventually fell pregnant, the directors of the company had been very aware that we were on this journey because I needed time off at funny times of the day. There were times when I had taken a certain type of medication, and so I couldn't go to meetings or be a part of things, and I had to block that out of my diary. You know, when you're on fertility treatment, nothing is normal, and so I had to be honest about what was going on, which was really important because I think they felt that I had taken them into my confidence, and they rewarded me with quite a lot of flexibility, and they also gave me sort of some freedoms to do what I needed to do. And so when I finally fell pregnant, it was like the whole company celebrated, you know, all 12 of us. We were all so excited.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And it was really wonderful. And it was lovely to be working in a small organization because it was a bit like family, you know. So the thing was that now there was a small company. I had to replace myself. It wasn't like I was in a large corporate where my workload could be taken and spread across five other people. There were only three of us doing what I was doing, and if I left, there were two. And that, you know, there was no way that those two people could pick up everything that I was doing. So my director said, "You are going to have to replace yourself. You are going to have to. We're going to have to find your replacement while you go on leave." And I was a consultant. You can't just replace a consultant with like a 4 month temporary worker. It's knowledge work. And it was
Very
specialist.
personal.
Yes. And it was also specialist work in the telecommunications field. And so you just were not going to find somebody that could come in for 4 or 6 months to replace me. So we looked for my replacement. We found somebody who then needed to be trained because they had good experience, but in a different field. And so they had to learn telecommunications. And so they started a month before I left. I had to train them, knowing full well that I'm training my replacement. When I come back from maternity leave, what am I going to be doing? And I had to learn to like just give it all over. Don't hold anything for yourself so that when you come back in 4 months' time, you just give it all, give everything over. And so I had to delegate all these tasks to her and to some others in the organization. And I did not have a clue what was going to happen when I got back from maternity leave. So when I did come back after taking time off, I walked in thinking, what am I going to be doing? And the director said to me, no, don't worry. You know, there's now four of you, but we actually want you to manage the three.
Oh, wow.
And so I kind of walked into a promotion position off the back of maternity leave, now managing the people that I had, some of them I've been co-workers with for a few years, and then, you know, this lady that had come in and replaced me. And so that was a huge growth opportunity for me because now I was stepping into a leadership role and not picking everything back up, but remembering to like keep on delegating and to keep on giving that work. And so that growth that happened when I had to hand over was then sort of able, and I was a freed up thinking space for me. So now instead of just thinking about, the five customers that I had had, I was thinking about, the 13 customers within the whole base, and all the things that we could do for everybody, as well as some of the things that we could do in the business to make things a bit more, to give things a bit more longevity, to give projects more longevity. And that's when I came up with a new product. We had been doing something kind of a little bit for this one, a little bit for that one. But I realized that this product, if we really operationalized it professionally and we productized it and we systematized it, we could actually offer this to all of our customers. And we would be able to, it would then give us longevity in the business. We would then be able to stay around for our customers long after the consulting interventions had ceased. And so I went to the directors and I said, look, we've been doing this, but we've been doing it on spreadsheets and we've kind of been doing it as an aside. We need to make this a main thing. And so they gave me the opportunity that they had to invest some money because we had to build a system. And they gave me the money and we built the system and we started rolling it out for the customers that we'd been doing things on spreadsheets for. And we got new customers and some of our current customers signed on for the service. And it was really an indication for me what can happen when you commit you commit to the cause. You say, this is, we are doing this, we are going north, this is what is needed. And then because of what I had done, I then was able to sit the directors down and say, okay, so now how do I get equity in this organization? I've built this product. We've productized it. We can see that it works. How do I get equity? And so that was also a process. It was a process of proving myself and proving the numbers and taking on responsibilities in the business that I hadn't taken on responsibility before. I needed to be upskilled a little bit in terms of my understanding of business management in order to really be able to take on shareholder equity in its fullest sense. And I did all those things. I ticked all those boxes. And so 5 years after my daughter was born, staying with the same company, I did get some shares. And I think the lesson there for me is, sometimes it's very tempting when you get bored and you're like, oh, I've been doing the same job for such a long time and I'm bored. If you are in a big corporate, you've got the opportunity to go and have that conversation with HR, right? And say to HR in a very confidential way, listen, I'd like to do something a bit different. My interests have shifted, or I see an opportunity in that department, or what they're doing looks exciting. Can I get involved? But when you're in a small company, the only person you can really have that conversation with are the owners, the CEO, the managing director. Especially if there's no HR department. And so to have the courage to have those courageous conversations and say, I want more. What do I have to do to get more? And they didn't go, oh, you want more? Here it is. They were like, if you want more, there's more that you need to do. And then to rise to that occasion. And so yeah, you can look for more by looking elsewhere. But then you're starting at the ground floor again. They don't know you. You have to build that trust. But yeah, I'd been at the company for 10 years when I got equity in the company. And I believe that there's something, there's something significant about that milestone for me, and something significant about being a faithful servant, so those were my, that's my sort of
Wonderful.
story.
I love this because it shows that you were able, after your motherhood leave, that coming back and getting another view on the company. So not only another position, but you were able to develop something new, a new product, a new idea. And probably if you have been staying inside and not going outside, might be that you couldn't see this. Might be that you're doing just your work and not thinking about this in a different way. So I think it can always add a little thing. If you are a mother, you perceive things differently and can turn this around and give this into business opportunities as well. So I think that's wonderful. I love this story. What would you say is your greatest gift or strength that you have been able to develop in
So,
yourself?
I think I have been given a gift in terms of my positive outlook. I am a very, very positive person. I can see the silver lining to every cloud. However, that has its flip side in terms of sometimes you need to be pragmatic, and sometimes you need to look at the other side of the coin, so to speak. And so this is where I think a strength has developed for me in terms of knowing that I have this positive outlook. And sometimes, sometimes I call it a positive outlook problem because it is, I am so positive. And knowing that I have this personality trait is making sure that I test my ideas thoroughly with other people who are much more pragmatic. And sometimes even people who will take a contrary approach to mine. So, when I say, I think we should go left, and then somebody says, no, we should go right. And I'm like, okay, tell me more about why we should go right. Why do you think we should go right? And I think we should go left. And really listen, one of the lecturers when I did a course, one of the lecturers that I studied under, she used to say, listen to the wisdom of the no. So when someone is saying no to you, don't just get angry and want to like fight with them, but really dig in and understand why are they saying no? Where is the wisdom in here? And so the gift is my positive outlook because, I truly believe that it has helped me stick with a lot of things that I would have given up on if I didn't have it. But the strength that I've had to develop is to listen to the wisdom of the no and not just to run at a million miles an hour in my favorite direction.
Yes, wonderful. Wow, I love this. So that's an important thing to really to be aware of your positivity. But as you have shown us, you are a pragmatic woman who is able to follow just a plan, even if you had to switch with motherhood a little to adjust things. You're able to. You're having now both sides of the coin. And to play around with this and to know where your position is, and then to say, okay, I follow my position. I that's my personality, or oh, I have to look, have a closer look at what can I do differently. And this, no, even this is a positive way to think. Because if you say, okay, a no is not a no can be a learning, can be a growth, there is an opportunity inside. That's a positive way, don't you think?
Yes, yeah, but you see, once again, it's you're looking at no in a positive way,
Yes.
and so look, the other problem is that with being too positive, is it also you give people the benefit of the doubt, which is great, but there's that saying from Maya Angelou: when somebody tells you who they are, believe them, or when somebody shows you who they are, you should believe them. And so, if you have this positive outlook, you will tend to forgive very quickly and maybe make the mistake again of trusting somebody that you shouldn't be trusting, or trying something that has failed already and then trying it again. So it is that definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. The
How about
positivity can get you in trouble there.
Einstein? It's talking, yes, absolutely. Okay, so what is your number one advice for women who want to start their business? Because you are so passionate about business and helping mothers, helping women in their
Yes.
businesses. What would be your number one advice?
My number one advice for women that want to start a business is don't do it alone. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you need a business partner. And they do say that people that start businesses with a business partner have got a much higher success rate of that business actually getting to the 3 year, the 5 year, and the 7 year mark. But not all of us want a business partner. I myself am a solopreneur. I don't want a business partner. But working on your own is very lonely. And you have nobody to bounce or test those ideas with. And so my piece of advice is to find a community that fits you, that fits what your goals and agendas are. So in the last 3 years that I've been working on my own, I have been a part of various different communities. And some of them have, and they've changed over the years. And that's okay because, you know, the first one I joined and I was exploring the world of customer experience. And so I joined a customer experience specific community. And then last year I was wanting to take my business in a new direction. And so I joined a women's accelerator, which was it was like coaching and group coaching and community and kind of all of this, like all packaged into one. And it was, and these ladies were in the UK. I was in South Africa, I'm in South Africa. And so, you know, it, like the context about where you were based in your geography didn't matter. It was more about, you know, redefining your business and like finding your identity. And it was those kinds of things. And that was making sense to me at the time. And so I joined that community. And, you know, this year I'm in a community of people who want to grow and develop and read leadership books and read business books and read them together and discuss them. And so that's the community that I've found myself to be a part of. But what has been so amazing is that within those communities, I've formed new relationships, new friends, networking, you know, potentially have new opportunities coming out of all of that, which is fantastic. But I've also set up, you know, some of those relationships have endured. And so we, you know, we meet once a month for coffee, or we meet
Wonderful. Wow.
once a week and we have a co-working session. Literally on a Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock, when I was working in the formal sector and I had a business and I had colleagues and I had co-workers, we used to get together at 3 o'clock and we used to tell our stories from the week, you know, like, oh, this happened and that customer and that funny story. And we used to, and it was great, really built camaraderie. I don't have that anymore and I miss it. So I set up a bookkeeping happy hour with a friend of mine, who also runs her own business. She's also a solopreneur. And so at 3 o'clock on a Friday, the two of us jump on our individual bookkeeping systems, with a cup of tea or a G&T or whatever it is that takes us, you know, that afternoon. And we literally sit there and together on Zoom, we do our bookkeeping. We're not sharing screens or anything. We're just keeping each other company while we're doing that mundane bookkeeping task. And it keeps us both accountable to actually doing our bookkeeping, which
Wonderful. That's
is
great.
half of the battle won. So don't do it alone. Find ways to get plugged into a community of founders or a community of entrepreneurs or a community at the same sort of level or interest as you so that you feel supported.
That's nice. Yes. I think being supported is very important, very to really to make you, yes, like you said, accountable and to give you a connection to go.
Yes.
So,
Yeah.
what would you say? Have you had a biggest mistake that others could learn from?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think, have you heard of commitment bias?
No.
Okay, so commitment bias is where you have decided that something is the way, and you are so committed to
Oh, yeah.
that you are not really able to take in too much feedback, too much external feedback. So, when I sold the business, when my business partner and I sold our telecommunications consulting and managed services business in 2021, 2022, I then doubled down on the work that we had been doing as digital transformation and customer experience-led digital transformation. And I really went out to market. We redid the website. We spent money on a copywriter. She was absolutely brilliant, but it was a fair amount of money. We redid the website. I spent loads of time on my marketing materials and brochures and things that I could send out. I like went out with that message to the marketplace. And I found it incredibly difficult to sell. I found it incredibly difficult to convert proposals into actual live deals. And it was truly frustrating. And I had to sort of sit back and take a long, hard look at what I'd been trying to sell after a year and say, this is not working. Like, despite the fact that you've spent all of this time and all of this effort and all of this money on this direction, it is not working. And if I'm 100% honest, it wasn't working because it didn't align with my personal values, which are truth and impact and connection. And I couldn't draw the association with what I was selling and what my personal values were. And so I just really had to take a long, hard look and put it down and not sell it in as hard as I've been selling it, or even at all, and really take some time to go out there and listen to what people wanted and listened to what people were finding difficult, and create a place where I could be more impactful and I could foster connection between people, and make sure that it was an environment where like that element of truth and excellence could come out. So what I'm doing now is a lot more aligned with those personal values. And so I just feel that commitment bias. But I spent all this money on a website, and I spent all this money on copywriting, and I spent all this time on the marketing materials and putting myself out there, and I held on to it for too long because of those things,
Yes.
where if I just
You put
realized
so much
the
effort inside, so much energy inside, and then of course you want to let it go and want to make it happen. So I definitely relate to this.
I was also worried about what people were going to think. They were like, "But you told us that you were the digital transformation for customer experience consultant, and now you're telling us that you are a small business consultant working with people who want to professionalize their operations." Like, huh? How does that translate? Like, how did you go from here to here? And I mean, we could ex I can explain it, but I was really worried about what people's opinions were going to be after that, this transition that I had made, and were they going to even understand it, or was it going to cause them to write me off as like that confused lady who sold her business and doesn't know what to do with herself?
Oh, yes.
So,
So, but
yeah.
it all comes down to basic principles, doesn't it? So, and if you've got basic principles inside of this field and inside of another field, it's always the same basic principles. So actually it would make sense if someone would think about this. But people just look from the outside, and if it doesn't make sense, so sometimes, yeah. Wow, wonderful. Thank you for sharing this. What is your offer that you have?
So I would love for people to join us in the Leaders Library. It is a online community for small business owners and managers, leaders to come together, and we do read-alongs. So we read books together, and we sort of have group coaching sessions where we hold each other accountable to actually apply that book. Because if you just read or listen to a book, you only retain between 10 and 30% of what you've read or listened to. But if you come together and you read or listen experientially and you talk about what you've read and what your learnings were and your insights, that goes up to 70%. And if you apply what you have read, then it goes up to 90%. And so what we do is we bring people in and we say, come and read with us. We will talk about it. So it goes up to 70%. And then we will give you application notes every week that you can go back into your teams or to your business, and you can apply those things, and then it goes up to 90%, the return on investment. And so I run read-alongs for the Leaders Library. I also run them for corporates, so corporate read-alongs, and I use a lot of the content that comes out of those business frameworks in my coaching methodology as well.
So people can also reach out to you for coaching.
Yes. So I do coaching for small businesses that are starting up or that want to scale, and get bigger and do what they do at a bigger scale. So I offer those two products, startup coaching and then businesses that want to scale.
Yes, wonderful. So where can they find you? How can they reach out to you? Only in your
So
community? No, there are different ways.
yes, so the community is called the Leaders Library. So it's www.leaderslibrary.co.za. And then my email address is Anne, Anne, at solutioneers.co.za. So that's probably the two best ways to find me.
Okay, great. So I will place them in the description. Everyone can see this. So want people to reach out to you because this is so wonderful that you are doing such a great job, really to give your experience to those startups to scale the business. And I think it's wonderful if people can reach out to you and contact you. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Blanca. It's been such a lovely conversation, bringing in that sort of motherhood side of things. Thank you so much for letting me share parts of my journey.
Yes, thank you for being my guest. And yes, please follow my podcast, Renew Motherhood. The upcoming episodes will be as exciting as this one. Have an awesome day.
Bye.
Bye.